Proverbs for the day, November the 9th, Proverbs 9 and 1 verse, verse 17. Stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Some truths are very easily twisted by a sensual interpretation, especially what? Out of context. You know, the context of this is not God making a statement. It's God quoting someone. Verse 16, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. So it's the context, God is quoting somebody. You have an inspired, supernaturally interpreted, as in translation, and preserved in the English language for you, the words of the enemy. So this is an inspired account. Are the words inspired? Yeah. Are the words inspired as in when this woman spoke them, that meant that it was of God? No. The record is. Get this in your Bible. And so in the same way that if you were fighting an enemy, it's helpful. In fact, it's almost vital to know the difference between your weapon sound and theirs, between how their weapons work and yours. The higher up you go in expertise and in skill and in usefulness, you are able to be completely familiar with the enemy's weapon also. We are not ignorant of his devices, it says. Now I trust that if you've been listening to these devotions, and or you are now, that you will get something out of it. And today would be no different. So I want us to look at this verse, this statement, and you must understand in the context, it's not God saying it. So first of all, two thoughts today about this verse where she saith to him. Okay? And this is a foolish woman, verse 13. Simple knoweth nothing. She says, stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. First of all, some truths are half truths. This verse is true. It really is, but it's only half true. Now, your Bible is such that you need access to all of it. And we'd be foolish not to take advantage of the fact that we have a completed book. Now, it has, 1,189 chapters, 30,000 plus verses. So I understand when you first get saved and you come to the book, you might read something and then wonder what you should do about it. Let's say, for example, let's say that you came to the Bible, you got saved, and the first book you turned to, you opened up, was Leviticus. And you start reading about all these offerings and all this stuff. Well, I hate to tell you, but the Holy Spirit may help you to wonder if it's for you. But the Holy Spirit cannot start teaching you the Bible if you don't either get under somebody that's teaching it or can ask questions or read it. The promise in John 14:26 is that when you hear the words, which includes reading them, that when you hear them, something will happen and the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. If you're a Christian, an established Christian, would you remember that people have to be carefully taught the Word of God and helped with these things, that the Holy Spirit doesn't just tell them what's right and wrong about everything? You say, well, He'll deal in your conscience. He will. But nothing's as clear as having it in writing. For example, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says of Moses, verses 24 through 26, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses had been adopted, you might say. Moses had been put in there by proxy because he was found floating in an ark in a little boat. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Sin has pleasure for a season. So some truths are half truths. Stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. It might be. But it's going to turn sour, and it's going to have an outcome. Now, may I say this to some of you Christians? You shoot off your mouth, and you make it sound like somebody's going to drop dead immediately, or they're going to suffer and not have any prosperity if they go against the Bible. It might take years for it to. It might take till the judgment for it to catch up with them. So be careful how you word it. You see, the issue is, will I respect God? It may take 10 or 20 or 30 years. It may be the judgment before someone comes up against something. So this is a half-truth. You say, are stolen water sweet, bread eaten in secret is pleasant? In the context, he's talking about sexual things. In the context, he's talking about immorality. Sensuality. And so you need to understand that the appeal is to something that's a half-truth. There is pleasure in sin for a season. There is. But that's a half-truth. Because number two, seasons may come later than you think. The season of judgment may be judgment day. So we must not lie against the truth, as James says in James 3 and verse 14. In our zeal, our effort, and for some of y'all, almost a bitterness about judgment, if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Beware of lying against the truth. Don't preach when the season of the sour will come. Just preach that it will. Listen, there are people, believe it or not, that can be married 50 years without God. You say, well, there you go. It just proves that you don't have to have God to stay married. It does prove that. What it doesn't prove is whether or not you're going to get credit for that in eternity. Now, Christian, it may take some effort on your part to adjust your focus, your mind, your thoughts from this life into the next. Do we want people to be married 40, 50, 60 years? Absolutely. Is just staying married and getting along and maybe ready? Indulgence. Some indulge, and they die healthy and happy. Does that discredit the Bible? No. In our text in Proverbs chapter 9, the next verse says, he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. A person could indulge, and die healthy and happy and awake in hell. Some truths are half-truths, and seasons may come later than you think. You know, the book of your life, okay? The book of your life will one day be read, because God is putting in a book your life. And when he does, and when the book is opened, and the books, plural, are opened, and he reads your life, it'll be all. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Notice that he tells you that you're supposed to live it out with the love of Jesus Christ. It's not enough just to do it. It's what sort of work we have. And it's so important to remind ourselves of that. You know, he tells us in Colossians 3, verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Adam and Eve died the day they took the fruit, yet they lived on, yet they died that day. You and I do not want to let our Christian life be dead while we're alive. And so our verse in Proverbs is true. It's true, but it's a half-truth. It's just a half-truth. Here in Proverbs 9, verse 17, stolen waters are sweet, bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he knoweth not that the dead are there. You say, well, I've just got more peace after I just made my decision about what I just did. Well, but what you did was unscriptural. It was against God. And if you're not careful, something's died, you don't even know it's dead. Or you're dead, and you know it is, and you can't go back over that bridge because you just decided you're not going to denounce it. So in our Christian life, we need to realize that there are things that could be sweet, there are things that could be pleasant, but they're fraught with death. Death to our conscience, death to our Christian life, death to our relationship with God, and death to our reward. Because some truths are very easily twisted. Some truths are half-truths, and seasons may come later
than you think.